First Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we're waiting for you. Come on in, y'all.
The 25th day of March. And Lady Kim, March is trying to move right on out of here.
It ain't trying.
Would you agree with me on that?
It ain't trying.
It's doing it. And I tell you, time is filled with swift transition. So we have to be clear in terms of making sure that we take full advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to make a difference and to speak positively into the lives of people and reduce the negativity and be clear in terms of our assignment as we move throughout this year and getting ready to close out this first quarter of the year. But we're certainly grateful for the keeping power of God and how he sustains us, how he blesses us even in spite of ourselves. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
So let us know that you're getting a clear signal, those of you who are joining us. We're going to be in chapter 13. We're going to just do a review of chapter 13. Lady Kim is going to give us some updates on that, and then we'll move through 14. But we're not going to try to read all of this. We're going to try to wrap it up and see what the relevance is for us and what God is yet saying to us through these particular chapters. A lot of regulations and a lot of details and a lot of processing that's happening here in these two chapters. Still dealing with the lepers, and we left off with that on last week. But we're getting a clear signal. Is anybody saying we're getting a clear signal yet?
Portia said, good evening, family. So we must be getting a good signal on the streaming side.
Okay. Well, let's prepare for tonight. It's raining, and it's kind of slowed up a little bit here, but we praise God for that. So let's have prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for each person that's on this call and those who they are associated with. We pray for families tonight, and we ask your blessings to be upon those who will hear this word and that they will gain deeper insight in terms of what you are saying to all of us. We know that our faith is going to increase, because you've already decreed that it would. Faith cometh by hearing, and of course, hearing by the word of God. So we love you tonight. We honor you, and we bless your name. We pray for everything that we have put before you, that you will resolve issues in our lives, that you will move situations out of the way, that you will show yourself strong on our behalf, that you will heal, that you will deliver, and that you will set free. And so now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it over to the soon-to-be Dr. Kim Murray as she's on countdown now. When is graduation, Lady Kim?
May 11th.
That came right out. That was right on the tip of your tongue.
I haven't gotten all clear yet, though, so I'm still on in my holding pattern. I haven't had my oral exams yet. Mm-hmm. So waiting patiently for my oral exams, to defend my dissertation.
Okay.
Once that's done, then, as a matter of fact, I didn't even check my email today because I was so busy. Oh my goodness, I was so busy.
Somebody might have tried to get in touch with you to let you know.
They probably emailed me about my oral exam, and I was just swamped at work today, so I didn't have time to even look around good.
Okay,
so.
Well, the good news is all your paperwork is in.
Yes.
No more reading, no more writing.
I hope not.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They might email me back and say, no, you need to do something else or change this. And so I'll have to go back again.
Okay.
But I pray I will not.
That's right. All right. Well, we had another exciting weekend, Palm Sunday.
Yes.
And of course, this is Holy Week. And I tell you, you know, Easter is coming a little early this year. Normally it's in April. Is that right? But we praise God for Holy Week, and as we move through this week and as we kind of set the stage for things that happened on Palm Sunday nearly 2,000 years ago, as you indicated in your prayer on yesterday and gave a brief explanation for the Holy Week and Palm Sunday celebration. So tell us a little bit about what you heard the Lord saying to you, and just give us an update. Why you doing all that blinking and stuff?
I was just looking at you.
All right.
Give us an update.
Yes, ma'am. Give us an update on what the Lord was saying to you yesterday.
Well, the sermon title yesterday was God is looking for a praise and a shout.
Okay.
So God is looking for a praise and a shout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you came from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 29 through 44. You did not read all of those verses, but you did cover those verses. Mm-hmm. And in those verses, it talks about, you know, when Jesus came to Bethage and to Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, that he sent his disciples out to find a colt.
Right.
One that had never been ridden, and told them to bring the colt back to him. And if anyone asked why he needed the colt, what they were doing,
right,
that they were to tell him that the Lord needed it.
The Lord had need of it.
The Lord had need of it.
That's right, that's right.
And so they did what the Lord, what Jesus asked them to do. And sure enough, when they went, there the colt was.
He was tired.
And
was he tied up?
He was tied up, and there the man was asking about him, and they responded as they should have responded. He said, "Why are you loosing the colt?"
Yeah.
And they said, "The Lord has need of him." And when they brought the colt to Jesus, so that Jesus can sit on him, then they spread their coats on the road. They spread things down for the colt to walk on. And it talked about how when they got close to the Mount of Olives, the people began to praise God and say, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But you know, there were some Pharisees.
That's right, in the crowd.
In the
right?
crowd, that were saying, "You know, you need to tell these folks to hush. You know, keep quiet."
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, "If these keep their peace, then the rocks or the stones will cry out."
Right, right.
So, you had several points that you touched on,
okay.
And the first point was don't allow the crowd to muffle your praise.
Mm-hmm.
And by the crowd, I think, you know, you were talking about those Pharisees.
Right.
Because the Pharisees were telling them, you know, telling the people to be quiet. But first of all, God deserves our praise.
That's right. That's right.
And not only does he deserve our praise, but he deserves our shout. So the shouts were of triumph. They were saying glory to God in the highest. God deserves our praise because he's done so much. So don't allow anybody or anything to keep you from giving God praise.
That's good. Because not only was that that directed toward the Pharisees, it's also a clear indication that there are people around us that will tell us to be quiet or hold our peace. And so we have to take that same mandate even mm-hmm. today as we give God praise for all that he's done.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then your second point was don't allow the enemy to convince you to keep quiet.
Okay.
So I guess the Pharisees in that case were the enemy mm-hmm. because they mm-hmm. were against Jesus's what Jesus believed and what he came to put in place. So praise demonstrates our gratitude, it uplifts our spirits, and it gives us an affirmation that we can count on God.
Wow.
So what we have to think about is, how do we affirm God every day
mm-hmm.
when we get up
okay,
in the morning?
Okay.
You know, what praise do we give God as we go forth every day? You said something significant, but I'll bring that up in a little bit. Praise demonstrates our gratitude. It lifts our spirits, gives us affirmation that I said that already, that we can count on God. Mm-hmm. And it also, that God delights in our praise.
That's right.
And our adoration.
He inhabits the praise of his people. That's what the Bible says.
That's what his word says.
Okay. And hallelujah is the highest praise. Mm-hmm. And so, was that what you were about to say?
No.
Okay. Many times we allow those around us to, short circuit what we ought to be doing because we are fearful of what they might say or how they might look at us, because all of us have a story to tell and all of us have something to be grateful for. But I believe that when we don't release the praise, that sound, when we don't release it, then the enemy thinks that he can take advantage of us. And he thinks then that we really don't believe that God has delivered or made a way for us. So he come back and try to double down and confuse us and cause us not to be joyful in our expression or thankful for all that God has done.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes if we haven't praised God in a while, or we haven't praised God at all, our praise just may be under attack.
Wow.
You know, and one of the questions you raised was, has the enemy silenced our praise? Mm-hmm. Has the enemy silenced your praise? Sometimes we can get so distracted and so distraught about what we're going through and things going on in our lives that we forget to give God praise, because something good is happening, even though you're stuck on whatever it is that's not going right.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Don't let the enemy rob you of your praise or silence your praise.
Okay.
And then we are being desensitized that we refuse to use our praise as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, our weapon... the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. And the way we can pull down those strongholds is give God a shout of praise.
Speak in tongues,
because when you speak in tongues, excuse me, it confuses the enemy.
That's right. That's right.
So go on and shout hallelujah, speak in tongues, and give God praise, because the enemy doesn't like that.
That's right.
But God loves it.
That's it.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. So was that the part that you were going to come back around to, or you haven't gotten there yet?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
I'm coming there.
Okay.
Praise is our way of expressing our gratitude to God.
Was that your sister on the call as well, Portia?
Yes, yeah, she's okay. On the streaming
all
side.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good to have you on the call tonight, Sister Portia, all the way from up there in Illinois. Let us know how the weather is. I know you're doing good. Regardless, but we're grateful that you're on with us. And for those of you who are viewing, we don't just have people right here in the city of Memphis and surrounding areas. We have people all across the country who tune in, either on the streaming side or either on Facebook Live. And so we're grateful for that kind of relationship that has been established. And this really came about as a result of COVID. You remember when we shut down, but God so had everything in place for us to continue to move forward and introduce a lot of people to how they could utilize the technology in terms of streaming and all of that.
Amen. Yes.
But just wanted to give a shout out to Portia as she's in, what is it, Oak Park?
Park Forest.
I say that all the time.
Park Forest, Illinois.
Park Forest. Did you tell Portia that we found a place in St. Louis?
I did.
Okay. That's just between us, so we won't linger there. That's a rabbit hole we don't need to go down right now.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You got a couple more points.
Yes. I had a couple more things that I got out of the sermon. Praise is our way of expressing our gratitude to God. And
okay.
I think I said that before you started talking about
before I rudely interrupted you.
Yes. Huh. That we need to say, tell God thank you. When we express gratitude to God, we can express it as praise and worship and a shout, giving God a shout. And when we get to heaven,
okay,
you know, it's not going to be no section for the quiet people.
No, no.
It's not. There's not going to be a section for the reserve. The reserve.
Don't scare nobody now, Reverend. You scared some people right there.
When we get to heaven, it's going to be a lot of jumping and shouting and praising God.
That's right.
You know, if you can't praise God down here, you're probably not going to like heaven. But I don't know about you. I don't know anywhere else I want to be.
That's right. That's right.
But jumping and shouting and praising God, you know, we become afraid of what people might say if we praise God.
That's right.
So that's the last thing that I wanted to say. You know, that when we come to church, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with emotion that we don't want to praise God because of we fear what other people might think. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to know that I'm going through something, or I don't want to let people know that, you know, all is not well in my household. But I'm telling you, when you give God praise and think about how he's already brought you out,
That's right. That's right.
And give he's God a shout out of praise for him bringing you out, and you can visualize yourself on the other side of that problem, that situation. You can shout and you can run, and you don't have to think about what people think about you.
That's right. And you don't have to wait until you get through what you're going through before you give God praise.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
That's right.
Praise will release something in the atmosphere that will give you, help you better cope with what you're going through. And when you come out, then it's a shout because there's a sound that's connected to your praise that produces that shout that will come forth. And all of us have different ways of expressing gratitude and appreciation. Some of us are not very vocal in terms of how we express to God how much we appreciate him. Some might be, and I don't have any categories in mind, some might be a little bit more reserved in their praise and in their shout. And some might be more, more reserved. And did I say reserved the first time? Yeah. And how they express to God their appreciation. But the key is to make sure that you show forth the praises. That's what the Bible says. We ought to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Lady Kim, I was thinking about you have a good example or definition for praise and worship that you share with us oftentimes, just kind of enlighten the people in terms of the distinction of the two and how that really elevates the worship experience as well as what God is doing on the inside of us.
Yes, we praise God for what he's done in our lives.
That's right.
But when you worship God for who he is.
All right.
And so, you know, that makes a big difference.
That's right.
When you can get into the worship mode, just praising God for who he is. Mm-hmm. Not asking for anything.
No, not asking for anything.
Just wanting to bask in his presence. Mm-hmm. Now, it's all right to praise and give God glory for the things that he's done in your life.
Right, right.
But it's even more significant when we just love on God for who he is.
That's
because
right.
You know what? He loves us for who we are.
That's right.
The mess that we in, the messes that we are, you know, he loves us in spite of.
That's right.
And so he would love for us to worship and adore him just for who he is.
Mm-hmm. And so he's done marvelous things for all of us. And when we begin to think of what he's done, then it will cause us to thank him for who he is.
Amen.
And so all of us have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give God praise. I just feel somebody who's perhaps viewing even tonight, Lady Kim, that the enemy is trying to prevent them or hinder them or muffle their praise
My
to
Lord.
The point that on the other side of that is your victory.
It's the breakthrough.
The breakthrough is coming. And so it's all right. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning before you give God praise.
Right.
You can go ahead and praise Him right now. Praise. You can tell God thank you right now. You can lift your voice. You can speak in other tongues and confuse the enemy and have him running up against the wall and trying to figure out what you're doing. And so I decree and I declare even tonight that breakthrough is nigh thee, and that praise will release something in your situation, and you will feel much better as a result of what you acknowledge God and appreciate God for what He's already done. And then you don't have to wait until the battle is over.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and shout right now. Because God has promised in His word that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And so even if what you have asked God to do for you is not lining up with what you see in the natural, know that God will never leave you. He'll never let you down.
Yes,
and He's promised, you know, to do great things in your life. So I just want to encourage somebody to let go and let God have His way.
Amen.
Because help is on the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody type, help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Yeah, help is on the way. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. The boss might be angry, but you continue to give God praise. God might be trying to get something done in you so that you can walk into that blessing and that destiny that He has for your life.
Absolutely.
All right.
Amen.
That's just my little sermonette for tonight.
That's your pre-Easter speech.
Yeah. But, you know, part of what we were sharing also, Lady Kim, is that, you know, we had people in the congregation. Jerry, of course, Frazier had just lost his sister. And then Dr. Butler, Carolyn Butler, had just lost her sister. And they had all the reason not to come to church, but sit at home and soak and sour. And the enemy would use that against them to cause them to be confined and thinking that God has done something wrong. But I just praise God tonight for those who just came on out to the worship service and they began to give God praise and they were thanking God in the midst of what looked like a bad situation. Know that God is yet still in control.
Amen. Amen. You know, as we were talking, you know, this is Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sister Georgia, Minister Georgia Rucker, sent something interesting that I'd like to share. I'd like to share about Holy Week.
Okay.
And it just outlines the week so succinctly. It says on Palm Sunday, which was yesterday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. And
right.
That's the sermon that you talked about, how He entered Jerusalem on a colt that had never been ridden, and how they laid palm branches, you know, in the road and laid their coats down. And so that was yesterday, Palm Sunday. Today is Holy Monday.
Okay.
And it says Jesus freed the sacrificial animals and cleansed the temple.
Mm.
So that's when Jesus went in the temple. He said, you know, you made my house
a den of thieves.
You know, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
That's
you know,
right.
And
that's
He
right.
turned over some tables and whipped some things, you know. Yeah, Jesus got angry, you know. And then on Tuesday, Holy Tuesday, Jesus taught in the temple.
Okay. He cleansed the temple.
Then he taught.
Okay.
Then He taught in the temple.
That's good.
Holy Wednesday, a disciple named Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for some pieces of silver.
Wow.
The Bible talks about 30 pieces of silver that Judas sold Jesus out for. You know, he said, I'm going to greet him with a kiss, and that's him.
That's
you know, make sure that they got that they got who they were looking for. And then on Thursday, we call it Maundy Thursday, was Jesus's last supper with the disciples as he washed their feet.
Okay.
And then on Good Friday, we know what happened on Good Friday. Jesus was crucified on the cross and darkness covered the whole earth. Holy Saturday, Jesus rested in the tomb.
Wow.
And then we know on Resurrection Sunday,
early
Easter Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead. His death, burial, and resurrection paid for our sins and gives all who believe in Him eternal life.
Isn't that powerful?
So I thought that was so powerful today, and I appreciated that week in at a glance, you know, makes things, puts things in perspective.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, this is this. If we don't get excited about anything else, Reverend, this for believers this week should be our opportunity to really wave the banner high, mm-hmm. and be not ashamed of the gospel, and celebrate what happened this week, because it was all for us.
All for us.
God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. That's mm-hmm. John 3:16, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. And as a result of what happened, then we can celebrate the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's where our redemption lies. That's yes. where our hope is. That's yes. where we have covenant relationship yes. with God, knowing that this too shall pass. It may mm-hmm. look dark right now, but we're coming out on the other side.
We're coming out.
And so we have to trust the timing of God in our situations.
Amen. And this week should be our pep rally week.
That's right. That's right. Yes. This is our pep rally week. That's good. All right. Well, any comments there we need to deal with, Lady Kim, as we prepare? We're going to just briefly, I don't think we're going to try to read all of this, but you have just a little background on the 13th chapter, and then I'll share some thoughts in terms of what is happening and how we can apply both 13 and 14 to our own lives, because what we will see, and we're in Leviticus, the 13th chapter. We started, I think we read the first 15 verses or so last week.
Yes.
But this is just some detailed information, some specifics, if you will, in both of these chapters that is being given for God concerning skin disease and cleansing and what he required of the people then. But there's a spiritual application in this for us as well.
Yes. And so chapter 13 is quite lengthy. I think they're like 59 verses. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. like you said, we went over several of the verses, the first 15 or so on last week. But just to bring it into focus and put it all into a nutshell, I like to look at this website called Be Like Christ.
Okay.
And the man on there gives a synopsis or an overview of the chapters in Leviticus. And so
what is the website?
To Be Like Christ.
To
the
Be
number
Like
two.
Christ. Okay.
And then Be Like Christ.
Okay. Okay.
And so I like how he gives, you know, a brief overview of everything. But you know, we've been talking about the book of Leviticus, and Leviticus picks up, you know, where Exodus leaves off, and the children of Israel are on their way through the wilderness to Canaan,
okay,
to the promised land.
Right.
And so, according to Leviticus 8, the tabernacle had already been erected, which would place the year at approximately 1490 BC, or 1 year after the Israelites left Egypt.
Okay. Okay.
So about a year after they had their mass exodus, going to their promised land, mm-hmm. they erect the temple in the wilderness. Now, they have some two words that they kind of outline, and that's leprosy. And we know leprosy is still in existence today, but it's known as Hansen's disease. And leprosy is a slow-growing bacterial disease that attacks a person's nervous system, causing them to swell under their skin. So lesions begin to form like tumors. And then they can, you know, rupture. You know, kind of like you had chicken pox or something, and the skin is exposed. And then it's another term called leucoderma. And it's a general term used to refer to localized patches of depigmented skin. The depigmentation can be the result of several factors and underlying conditions. So, you know, back then they didn't have the technology that we have now. And I think you talked about it last week, mm-hmm. how the priest
right.
was like the doctor.
That's
almost
right.
back then. You know, and so God had given the priest certain abilities or certain, what am I trying to think of? Not commands, but he told them how to
distinguish what this leprosy was all about, yes, and what to look for.
What to look for.
Right.
And gave the priest explicit instructions on what to do with people who had these characteristics.
And Lady Kim, even as you, I know you're wrapping that up, but that carried even over to the New Testament, because it was obvious when we look at all of the stories about
leopards.
they had a charge even when those who were on their way, he said, you go back and show yourself to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right, the priest still carried responsibility.
Yes.
That carried over from what we are seeing here in Leviticus in terms of him giving the signal that their leprosy had been cleansed, and mm-hmm, that they had been cleansed, and they were confined to certain areas, colonies, no doubt.
Yes.
Where they were not associated or could not be in the general population.
Right.
And it's amazing how they were so well informed in terms of what they needed to do in order for the cures. And I think a lot of what was expressed last week is the time frame that they had to go through, and then the priest would call them back. He would say 7 days, and there was a distinction between the women
And
the men. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so there were certain specific instructions that they had to follow. And it just amazed me, because God had so instilled within the priest the ability to discern this whole process without any kind of medical, you know, degree or
teaching.
Training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the kind of God that we serve. But this was key in terms of what happens even in the New Testament, and how they had to continue to go show it. Because that sermon you preached about how the lepers and one did not return.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to say thank you.
That's right. Don't forget
like
to say thank you.
And put a praise on it, I think, mm-hmm, I said. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so all of us, you know, we have a reason to be thankful for what God has done for us. You might not have leprosy physically, but all of us have some kind of ailment or some kind of situation that God has delivered us from.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a reason to go back and tell the Lord. Don't forget to tell the Lord thank you for what he's done for you. And that's part of what was happening even when he was making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Awesome.
All right. So were you finished?
Well, if you want the diagnosing of leprosy, you know, it goes all the way through the whole chapter, mm-hmm, verses 13th chapter, verses 1 through 59.
Okay.
You know, if a person talks about how if they had a suspicious swelling or an eruption or a spot on their skin, that they were to be brought to the priest for inspection.
Mm-hmm.
If their hair in the disease areas had was white and the disease appeared deeper than the skin level, the priest was to diagnose it as leprosy, and the sick person would be considered unclean. And you know, we talked about clean and unclean.
Right.
In this chapter too. And you know, one thing about being clean and unclean is that we talked about how if a woman was unclean for several days following her pregnancy, you know, clean or unclean was not did not stigmatize you as having sin or no sin.
Okay.
You know, a person could have been unclean on the account of a disease,
mm-hmm,
not because of sin.
Okay.
They could be unclean because, you know, not of a matter of right or wrong or good or bad. So mm-hmm, they could also be considered unclean because of sin.
Okay.
And so it was definitely depending on, you know, what situation they, category they fell in.
Okay, okay. Well, as you've already indicated, Lady Kim, this 14th chapter, as we move into that, is a continuation of what we were talking about in terms of the skin disease, the cleansing of it in the 13th chapter. And there are probably about 57 verses in this 14th chapter, but it's divided into sections because the first part deals with the purification of lepers and leprous houses in terms of if that disease has entered into the house where they were living and what were some of the instructions, the process and the procedure in the case of leprosy in the houses. And part of what I would draw from this in terms of a spiritual lesson for us as we, you know, however many verses you want to read tonight, is that these regulations were intense and they had to follow them to the letter. And so I think for us, Lady Kim, as we read some of this, it highlights the importance of holiness and purity before God. And so the cleansing and all of the regulations, how we should examine our hearts and our lives to ensure that we are doing what's pleasing to God. For after all, our body is the temple of God. And so God is setting in motion or setting in place the importance of holiness and right living, and how what we do, our beliefs should match our behavior, and that we should live a life that really brings glory and honor to God. There's a process that happens even with us in terms of being made clean. And I think it's in 1 John where it says that we but confess our sins, that God is faithful and just. And most of what we deal with is heart conditions and not so much an outward disease that puts us in isolation outside of society.
Amen.
But we are walking around really with a lot of heart diseases that's hindering us from living holy and being who God has called us to be. And so I think that parallels with the fact that we have to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And that passage that we were making reference to in 1 John, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and cleanse us and make us whole. And so many times that's a part of the purification process that has to happen for us to start living a life that's pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. So the spiritual cleansing and relationship to what they were going through in Leviticus is very much a part of what God requires of us today through our confession and through our repentance and through us relying upon the finished work of Christ on the cross to be lived out in our lives, even as we're in Holy Week now. You know, we have a reason to be excited, and this is our benchmark. This is our pep rally week, you know? Yeah. And so we have a reason to be excited because God has made available everything that we need in order to be who he's called us to be.
Amen. And, you know, I don't know if pep rally is a good term to use, because when I think of a pep rally, I think of, you know, hyping up the players for the game, you know? But I think of a pep rally in that I'm excited that of what Jesus did on the cross. Right. I'm excited that Jesus went through what he went through just for me.
That's right.
You know, so I'm excited and I'm geeked for that reason.
Okay.
You know, the excitement is that of a pep rally, not the occasion as a pep rally.
Right.
So, yes, Jesus, as he made his way through the civilized / uncivilized world, you know, just so he can make things right for us. And so we have to keep our houses clean, mm-hmm. as you were saying, our internal houses.
That's right.
You talked about heart disease. We're not talking about the kind of heart disease where you're physically ill.
Right.
We're talking about the kind of heart disease where you emotionally are wrecked, or that you allow sin to dwell, mm-hmm. or to reside in your life.
Right.
You know, and we all sin and fall short of God's glory, you know. But as Christians, we are not to practice sin, live in sin.
That's
just, you know, some people practice sin.
Absolutely.
You know, some people, these people going around, riding around, trying to take packages off of people's porches, they're practicing sin.
Yeah.
They're intentionally waking up in the morning and say, I'm going to ride around and I'm going to be a porch pirate, you know. And so, yes, that's a sin. That's stealing. You know, people practice sin, you know, but as Christians, we don't intentionally practice sin. You know, we might sin by having a bad thought, or we mm-hmm. might sin by, you know, somebody doing something and just make us angry and we flip off right quick. We didn't wake up that morning planning to do that, you know, so that's what we mean by, you know, keeping your house clean. That's why we have to wake up every morning.
That's right.
And ask God, thank God for a new day.
Thank you.
And
God.
Then, and before I go to bed at night, I ask Him to forgive me of all of my sins, so that when I wake up the next morning, I got a fresh start.
All right.
You know, and I ask God to bless my day, to bless my family, to keep us safe, and, you know, to go before us, make the crooked places straight. So you have to have a heart. You know, it says, give me a clean heart.
Create
within me a clean heart.
And renew.
Yes, and renew the right spirit in mm-hmm. me. So mm-hmm. that's my daily waking scripture. Give me a clean heart so I can serve you, God.
That's right.
As I ought.
Yeah. You're right on point, Lady Kilman. I think you're blessing a lot of people by sharing that. And so people have to realize that we can't take this journey for granted, nor do we take God's grace for granted. A lot of people are taking it for granted. And sometimes people look at it as an out in terms of, well, when I sin, not if I sin.
Mm-hmm.
And they find themselves... But see, you can get caught on the backside of that and never make it out.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know right, then you ought to do right.
Yes.
If you know what God requires of you, then that's the road that you ought to take.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know, and we don't want to be caught in the middle of unconfessed sin or not repenting of our sins or asking for forgiveness. Because, I won't go into what I was going to talk about. You know how people sometimes with families and with loved ones and, you know, they stay separated because of some infraction or something that may have happened. And then when the person dies, then they have all of this stuff that they've been carrying. And it's just like a weight, you know. And they start saying things that they should have said to the person while they were yet living, because they were carrying that weight, you know, of not really coming to terms with just releasing that, because it'll hold you down. It'll hinder you.
That's carrying the guilt.
Yeah.
Carrying the guilt of, you know, unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Of unforgiveness.
Right.
You know, God does not intend for us to live that way.
That's right.
So in this, you know, 14th chapter, you know, it talks about purification of a leprous house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the physical sense, a leprous house is that one where leprosy, you know, people in the family have leprosy.
Okay.
But in the spiritual sense, we're talking about our leprous houses, these bodies of ours that that carry around sin, and so God does not want that. So you know, I didn't know if you how much of the 14th chapter you wanted to try to tackle, or if we're just highlighting or summarizing what's going on.
Right. That's what I'm thinking would be better, because it's a lot of
repetition
in this whole. But one of the things that really kind of sticks out for me is how the priest is still playing a prominent role in the release, and then helping to identify what's necessary in order for those who need to be cleansed to be clean. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think the first verse of that 14th chapter, how the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." Is that what your translation say?
Yes, it reads a little differently, mm-hmm. but yes, it says the same thing. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "This shall be the ritual for the leprous person at the time of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest."
Right. And so the priest there again is playing a prominent role in terms of what's necessary in order for, read verse number 2 and 3 and see what that says.
"He shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall make an examination of the if the disease is healed in the leprous person. Number 4, the priest shall command that 2 living clean birds and cedar wood and crimson yarn and hyssop be brought for the one who is to be cleansed." So it's talking about the offering mm-hmm. that has to be brought.
The process.
For mm-hmm. them to be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've talked about in Leviticus the sin offering and the guilt offering.
Right.
And the different types of offerings that have to be presented to God. And here again, here's another one.
That's right. And then you when you move over to after the person has been cleansed, then there's something that has to happen inside the house.
The house.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that starts at about verse number 33, if you can pick that up. Because there are, what, 57 verses there?
59 verses.
Yeah, just read a little bit of that, because we're going to stop here in the next few minutes. And those of you who are yet still viewing, if you have any prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and submit those so that we can pray around those concerns that you might have. But we're not going to try to read all of this, and you can glean it, and you can read it for yourselves. And we've kind of given you a breakdown and a highlight of what these two chapters are all about. But Lady Kim, if you read starting at verse 33 and maybe read down to, 40 or something like that.
Okay. We're in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. "The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying, When you come into the land of Canaan, which I will give you for a possession, and I will put a leprous disease in the house, in the land of your possession, the owner of the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, There seems to me to be some sort of disease in my house. The priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes to examine the disease, mm-hmm. or all that is in the house will become unclean. And afterwards, the priest shall go in to inspect the house. He shall examine the disease. If the disease is in the walls of the house,
wow.
with greenish or reddish spots, and if it appears to be deeper than the surface, the priest shall go outside the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. The priest shall come again on the 7th day and make an inspection of the disease, and if the disease has spread in the walls of the house, the priest shall command that the stones in which the disease appear be taken out and thrown into an unclean place outside the city." To what verse?
What verse was that?
That was 40.
Okay. Well, You want to stop there?
That's fine. Yes. That's where you want me to stop.
Now, that's good because, like you said, he's going through all of these processes and the procedure, but he's making sure that Moses and Aaron understand how important it is to avoid the spreading of this disease and understand the process of making sure that it's eliminated so that it won't wipe out the whole nation. Mm-hmm. And so that's establishing the process and the protocol for how that should take place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're gonna stop there, and of course we're gonna pick it back up next week with chapter 15, and just see what is happening in that particular chapter. If you want to read ahead, feel free to do that. But are there any prayer requests that any of you might have? And I think you already have some that's present from the congregation, but we want to lift those up tonight as we prepare to close out this time together.
Before we close out, we have lots of things going on this weekend, mm-hmm. and the weather is supposed to be absolutely amazing. So that's we great. Thank God in advance for the good weather that is to come for the services and activities of this weekend. First of all, we'd like to mention Good Friday service.
Okay.
On this Friday at 12 noon, seven women of the word will come forth and bring the word of God. We have Dr. Karen Todd, Dr. Cozette Garrett, Pastor Renice Stevenson, Minister LaShawna Williams, First Lady Alicia Norman, Reverend Mary Moore, and Reverend Reverend Tara Williams,
mm-hmm. from Nashville.
From Nashville, Tennessee. She'll be with us this
New
year.
New Covenant Christian Church.
And so we are excited. We have a few new people in the mix
this year.
That's right. And so we are thankful for that. And we're looking forward to what is to transpire on this coming Friday at 12 noon. And then Saturday at 10 o'clock, we're going to do Carry Your Cross. We're going to carry our crosses down Riverdale Road. And I think you also said the prayer drive.
Intercessors who want to come out. Yeah, we can have people stationed for those who would need prayer or want prayer.
Okay. And so Pastor says yes on the prayer drive through. So come on out and help us with the prayer drive through and carry your cross as we carry our crosses down Riverdale Road. And then after Carry Your Cross, we will have Easter activities for our young people. Mm-hmm. Oh, did we pack some eggs on this past Sunday?
Yeah, and I had boxes of.
We have two tubs full of eggs to hide for our young people. So young people, parents, bring the children out to the Easter egg hunt. It's going to start at about 11 o'clock. But we're going to have some activities before then. You know, we're going to have a craft, a movie, and then we're going to go out for our Easter egg hunt. So that gives us time for the latecomers. You know, in the past, we learned that when we just did the Easter egg hunt, mm-hmm. we had late stragglers to come along.
Right.
And it was all over with. So one of the ways we came up with the late people being able to participate is we'll have some activities first. Mm-hmm. It starts at 11. We're going to watch a short movie. We'll have, and not in this order in particular, we may sing some songs and we have a craft, and then we line up and go out for the Easter egg hunt. That way anybody who is straggling in late will still have an opportunity to participate. Mm-hmm. So again,
sounds exciting.
Yes, we have some on fire youth advisors.
That's right.
And oh my, I just thought we have youth advisors meeting this Wednesday. I haven't sent out a notice.
They finalize everything.
Yes. And then Easter Sunday morning, it's going to start out with our Sunday school. We're going to have a brief overview of the Sunday school lesson. And then we will have our young people. They're going to do the little Easter speeches. The young children will have their Easter speeches. And then the older kids are going to do, since it's Women's History Month, they're going to do some women's history portrayals. And then the praise dancers are going to dance. So it's going to be fantastic on this coming Sunday. And then at 9:45, we will have our Easter worship service. So come on out, bring the kids out, full day of activities on Saturday, and a wonderful worship opportunity on Sunday starting at 8:30 a.m.
I might have to go to bed early tonight so I could be ready for all
the early tonight.
Yeah, no, so I could get rested up, be ready for the weekend.
All right. And so we have prayer requests that have come forth. Of course, we want to pray for Brother Jerry Frazier and the loss of his sister, Cassandra Davis. They're still finalizing all of those arrangements. As far as we know, it will take place the first weekend in April. And then for Dr. Carolyn Butler and the loss of her sister, Pamela Treadwell, we want to lift up Dr. Butler and her family in our prayers. And Sister Georgia Rucker, Minister Georgia Rucker, is going to have a procedure done this Wednesday. We're lifting her up in prayer as well.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, we know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, and we can always count on God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Will you close us out then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer?
Sure. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you today. We thank you for the lessons that you give us through your word, oh God, how we should keep our house cleansed, oh God, and remove the things that that make it unclean. We thank you, God, that you came to give us life and that more abundantly. And as we go through this Holy Week, God, remind us of the things that you've done in order that we might have that eternal life. We pray for those who are bereaved today, God. We pray for Jerry Frazier and Carolyn Butler and their extended families. We pray for every family that's connected with Anointed Temple of Praise. Whatever they're dealing with, whatever situation, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just, rectify that situation, that you would bring them out, oh God.
Thank you, God.
And God, we ask that you would continue to bless our pastor, God. Bless Dr. Thomas L. Murray. Bless Anointed Temple of Praise as we continue to do the work that you have called for us to do. We thank you, oh God, for sending people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We thank you for sending workers into your kingdom, oh God. Now, oh God, we bless you for this Bible study. We bless you, and we ask your blessings to be upon this week's activities. And we love you, and we thank you, and give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for being on tonight. We'll see you next Monday.
All right. Bye. Be blessed. See you throughout the week.